This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد. اليوم 29 من شهر ربيع الثاني 1445 الموافق ل 13 من شهر نوفمبر 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah we continue from where we stopped last time. I guess we were talking about المحبة والإرادة أصل كل دين, the root of every deen, affiliation to a deen is المحبة والإرادة, a strong intention and interest and also love towards that which a person is choosing us as a religion. So we reach a place, if I'm not wrong, where Ibn al-Qayyim says, وَالدِّينُ دِينَانِ. صح؟ وَالدِّينُ دِينَانِ. You remember he talks about the, lastly, I guess, is was the ayah, فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينٍ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And how this ayah is confirming the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also removing any possibility of somebody to have ownership or power or ability, you know, in doing that which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. Yeah, indirectly the ayah is confirming this. So after that, Ibn al-Qayyim says, وَالدِّينُ دِينَان. You have two types of deen. Okay, two types of deen. دِينٌ شَرْعِيٌ أَمْرِيٌ وَدِينٌ حِسِّيٌ جَزَائِي. You have deen that is based on the Sharia laws, things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do, you know, things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to stay away from. And this deen is known to everyone, right? And we have another deen also, which is based on al-jaza. Jaza means compensation, recompense, that is based on what people are doing in that deenul amri. So you have deenul amri, which is the first one that comes and a person is supposed to be busy with. And after that, Deenul Jaza'i will take place. Okay, Deenul Jaza'i, Hisabiyun Jaza'i. So that's based on the Hisab, you know, Deen that is Jaza'i and Hisabi that is based on what you did in the Deenul Amri. You get it? The commands and the rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the religion. How did you approach them? How did you apply them in your daily life? So the second Deen will come and talk about that. You get the idea? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Malik yawm al-din ayyom al-jaza. Malik yawm al-din ayyom al-jaza. In kuntum ghayra madinin ay maziyin. You know, you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to hold you responsible and accountable of what you did, then why don't you stop death? Because if you can stop that one, that means you have the ability to stop death also at the same time. Qala wa kila. So I guess this is very clear, right? We have two types of deen. Deen that is based on awamirullahi wa nawahi, and you have another deen that is based on hisab. You know, hisab concerning what you did. In khayran fa khayran wa in sharran fa sharran. Qala wa kilahuma lillahi wahda. Both belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both of them belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fad-deenu kulluhu lillah. Fad-deenu kulluhu lillah. Amran wa jaza'an. A deen, all of it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who has the right to prescribe? Rabbul Alameen. Who has the right to give law? Rabbul Alameen. Who has the right to command? Rabbul Alameen. Who has the right to tell people not to do this and not to approach this? Rabbul Alameen. And who has the right to tell them whether they are right or they are wrong? Rabbul Alameen. And he's the only one who has the right to judge them based on what they did in this life on the day of judgment when they meet him. وَالْمَحَبَّةُ أَصْلُ كُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ الدِّينَيْنِ. And the mahabba is the basis of both of these deen. You know, we believe in both of them, right? Al-mahabba is the one that is pushing you to believe in both of them. You believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has right over you, and he's the only one you should be worshipping, and you love that. You know, يُحِبُّونَهُ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. So the believers and the good ones, they base their worship on that strong love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال فإنما شرعه سبحانه وتعالى وأمر به فإنه يحبه ويرضى. So even from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this deen is based on mahabba, because whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribe upon us, He loves it. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He tells us to do something, that means He loves it. When He tells us not to do something, that means He hates to see us doing it. He loves seeing us not doing that thing. فَإِنَّهُ يُحِبُّهُ وَيَرْضَى, and He is pleased with it. He loves it and He is pleased with the thing. وَمَا نَهَى عَنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَكْرَهُهُ وَيُبْغِذُهُ لِمُنَافَاتِهِ لِمَا يُحِبُّهُ وَيَرْضَى. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says not to do, Allah hates it so much. He hates seeing you doing it, and He loves seeing you not doing it. And why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hate it? لِمُنَافَاتِهِ لِمَا يُحِبُّهُ وَيَرْضَى. Because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates, He hates it because it goes against what He loves and what He is pleased with. Yeah, what did He love? Not seeing you doing it. Yeah, because that is a maslaha for you. Yeah, not for Him. That is a maslaha for you, not for Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves seeing you not doing those things, and He hates to see you doing it, because doing it goes against that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and He's pleased with. قَالَ فَهُوَ يُحِبُّ ذِدَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the opposite. What is the opposite? Not doing. Okay? Staying away from those things that He said He doesn't like. Yeah, taking riba, committing zina, bribing, drinking wine. Allah loves ذِدَّهَا. The contrary. Not doing. Yeah? Doing it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hate it. Because it is against that which He loves. فَعَادَ دِينُهُ الْأَمْرِيُّ كُلُّهُ إِلَى مَحَبَّتِهِ وَرِضَاهِ. So the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on this simple explanation, we understand that all of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is amri or jaza'i, all of it is back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's based on the mahabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get the principle, right? He loves things. Whatever He asks us to do, this is based on love. Whatever He asks us to do, this is based on love also. Whatever He asks us not to do, this is based on Him loving the opposite and hating doing it. That's why He asks you not to do it. So everything is based on love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rida from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ وَدِينُ الْعَبْدِ لِلَّهِ بِهِ إِنَّمَا يُقْبَلُ إِذَا كَانَ مَحَبَّةٍ وَرِضَاءً كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So the religion, the approach of a person in terms of religion, coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يُقْبَلُ إِذَا كَانَ مَحَبَّةٍ وَرِضَاءً. Allah will accept it if it is based on mahabba. It is based on love and also, ورضا, you're pleased with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى. Just like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Just like what رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ said. ذَا قَطَعَمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولًا. You want to reach the peak of Iman and the sweetness of Iman, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you should be this person. رَضِيْتَ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا. You are pleased to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your Rabb. Rabb means Khaliq, Al-Malik, Al-Mudabbir. You are pleased to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your Rabb. You believe in that and you're happy to believe in that. You feel that this is an integral part of your life which you cannot live without having this faith. Yeah, and this is true, You cannot live a comfortable life and a good life unless if you believe in this, that Allah is your Rabb, is your creator and your owner, and the one who has the right to give you instruction to follow. So, مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا. Whoever agrees and is pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be his Rabb. وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. And is pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the religion of Allah, Islam, to be his religion. وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. And he is happy to have Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ as his Rasul. This is the person that reach and have the sweetness of Iman in his heart. There's a person that have the sweetness of Iman in his heart. You get the idea? تَرْضَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولًا. So whoever has this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this person has reached the sweetness of Iman. Get it? الشاعر يقول ومما زادني شرفا وعزا وكدت بأخمصي أطاء الثريا دخولي تحت قولك يا عبادي وأن صيرت أحمد لي نبيا. Very nice, bait shari. This is one of the things that is always making me proud and honored. وكدت بأخمصي أطاء الثريا, and I feel that I can, you know, subhanAllah, reach the thuriyya, this najm, with my own feet. What is that thing that whenever he remembers, he feels so honored and respected? He said, "Dukhuli tahta qawlika ya ibadi," is that whenever I hear you, ya Allah, saying, ya ibadi, my slave, I know that I'm also one of them. So it makes me so happy that this invitation and call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes me also. And also when I remember that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is my prophet, I become so happy. You know, it makes me so honored and respected to remember that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is my prophet. And he will lie, it is true. You want to reach the sweetness of Iman, you have to have this. And this is also important and necessary, because if you don't reach this, then from time to time you might find yourself not willing to accept the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You might be favoring somebody else's statement over his. But if you see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this way, it would be very difficult for you to stay away from his statements. So you have to have this in your heart, that Allah is your Rabb. Rabb means you are his slave. That means all the commands on how to live a life in this dunya has to come from him. They have to come from him. And also, Islam is your deen. Deen means what you live with. Your life will be governed with Islam. That means every single part of your life has to be governed by the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to believe in this, that Islam is the only one who can tell you what to do in this life and how to live your life. Get it? And wa bi Muhammadir Rasulah. And you have to accept that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is your messenger, which necessitates you agreeing with him in everything, with no exception. Right? Always looking for his sunnah and taking everything with no exception, except that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells you that this is only for him. قَالَ فَهَذَا الدِّينُ قَائِمٌ بِالْمَحَبَّةِ. So this deen is based on what? Mahabbah. Al-Mahabbah al-Sahihah. وَبِسَبَبِهَا شُرِعْ وَلِأَجْلِهَا شُرِعْ وَعَلِهَا أُسِّسْ. He says, because of this Mahabbah, this deen is prescribed for us. And also, وَعَلِهَا أُسِّسْ, and on this Mahabbah, the religion is founded. وَكَذَلِكَ دِينُهُ الْجَزَائِ. So this is referring to the deen al-Shari, right? Al-Amri. Okay? وَكَذَلِكَ دِينُهُ الْجَزَائِ. And the same goes to the deen al-Jazai. فَإِنَّهُ يَتَضَمَّنُ مُجَازَاتِ الْمُحْسِنِ بِإِحْسَانِهِ وَالْمُسِيءِ بِإِحْسَائِتِهِ. Because the deen al-Jazai contains what? Recompensing the person who is muhsin. Muhsin means a righteous person. Rewarding them according to their deed. وَالْمُسِيءُ بِإِسَاءَتِهِ. And the wrongdoer according to his wrongdoing. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. SubhanAllah. Very beautiful ayah. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Is there any reward for ihsan other than ihsan? No, there is no reward for ihsan other than ihsan. قَالَ وَكُلُّ وَاحِدٍ وَكُلُّ مِنَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ مَحْبُوبٌ لِلرَّبِّ فَإِنَّهُ عَدْلُهُ وَفَضْلُهُ وكلاهما من صفات كماله وهو سبحانه وتعالى يحب صفاته وأسماءه ويحب من يحبها. Ibn Qayyim says both, you know, of the two types of mahabba, both of the two types of the what do you call the deen, al-jaza'i wal-amri, mahbubun lil-rabbi azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it. Or he's referring to مُجَزَاتِ الْمُحْسِنِ بِإِحْسَانِهِ وَمُجَزَاتِ الْمُسِئِ بِإِسَاءَتِهِ. Both of these two, مَحْبُوبٌ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. فَإِنَّهُ عَادِلُهُ وَفَضْلُهُ. This is based on the adil justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his favor. Ya Allah, we need to know this. We need to understand this and we need to believe in this. So that nobody will think that he has a right over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah did not make it right for him. So the reward that Allah gave us, you know, the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, these are all based on his favor, not based on our right towards him. No, we don't have that right. It's just a favor, mahadhu fadlin min Allah azza wa jalla, to his creation. You get it? So he is giving the muhsin, you know, he's rewarding him with ihsan. This is fadl. Yeah, if you remember in Hawiya, we talk about this, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yahdi wa ya'asim fadla. Yeah, wa yu'aqib, you know, adla. Or kama qal al-tahawi. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides and gives health, gives peace to some people and rewards people. Fadla. This is based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor and virtue over the people. And also, he punishes some people based on what? Justice. All the punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon some people who deserve those punishments are based on what? Justice. Qala adluhu wa fadluhu. So, imma al-adl wa imma al-fadl. Okay? If you work for a person and your service deserves only 100 ringgit. In every place you go, it deserves only 100 ringgit. That man gave you 1,000 after he finished. Is it the reward of your service? No, we call it ihsan. Yeah, we call it ihsan. Because you know you don't deserve that 1,000 ringgit. And everyone knows that you don't deserve it. But based on karam, wal-fadl, favor, and ihsan, he decided to give you much more than what you deserve. We call it fadl or ihsan. You get it? If he gives you 100 ringgit, that's a reward. Jazik. Allah doesn't do this with the righteous people. You do a hasana, Allah gives you 10 rather than 1. You do a sayyi'ah, a wrongdoing, Allah give you how many? 1. What do you call that? Justice. 1 for 1. Yeah. Again, Allah doesn't multiply the number of the sayyi'at. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplied the punishment because of the nature of the sayyi'ah. Yeah. You have to differentiate between this. The punishment might be multiplied. Yeah, this one get 1 sin. And the other one also 1 sin. But this one is punished in the worst type of hell. And this one is punished in hell also, but a bit lesser than this one. Yeah, because of some qualities in this one, which the other one doesn't have. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the wives of Rasulullah, he says, يُضَعَفْ لَهَا الْعَذَابُ ضِعْفَيْن. The one who did not do the right thing, when she is punished, Allah will punish her twice. The sin is the same, one, just like anybody else. But when the punishment comes, it will be multiplied because of the status she has. She's not supposed to do that. Being a wife of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the status is very high. That's why, who is being punished more? An ignorant or the scholar? The scholars, because he has the knowledge. He doesn't do, his punishment will be worse. كُنْتُ أَمُرُكُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَا آتِي وَأَنْهَاكُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرُ وَآتِي. In the hell, people in hell, they will pity one of the Amirun bil Ma'ruf. And the first people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sent to help, one of them was a scholar who doesn't do it correctly. Right? So if Allah grants you this ni'mah, you're supposed to be different from others. Not in the sense of arrogance, but you should understand that mistakes from your side are not equal to mistake from the other people. In Malaysia, in Singapore, Indonesia, Pakistan, whatever country you go, if you intend to do something bad and then you don't do it, the case is, it's closed bi-iznillahi azza wa jal. But inside haram, when you're in the haram al-makki and you intend to do something bad, The vast majority of the scholars said intention to commit sin in haram is a sinful act. In other places, it's not. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you intend to do and you don't do, you'll get a reward, actually, if you stop doing it just on your own, based on reflection. Then you get reward. However, if you stop doing because something stops you from doing it, you don't get the reward. Actually, you get the sin of the attempt. I say a thief was trying to get inside, inside the house. And then he just tried to jump, and then the dog started barking. He realized that this is not a safe place for him, so he ran away because of the dogs. He will be given the sin of attempt. Even according to the law, I think this is the, the application. Yeah, attempt, they call it. Yeah. So you get the sin. Islamically, the sins of the attempt, but the sins of the theft, he did not do the theft yet, but you get the sin of the attempt. But if, let's say, he was on the way to go to the place to steal, and then he just told himself, no, it doesn't fit me. No matter how much difficult is my life, I should be patient. I should go and look for the halal means. So he changed his mind because of this reflection. Would he be rewarded? Yes, he will get rewarded. But the scholars said in Haram al-Makki, the thing is different because the place is sacred. And as such, if a person is to intend to commit a sin, in that place, Allah says, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذُكْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. If a person intends to do something which is wrong in the haram, area of haram, Allah said, we will taste him, the severe, very heavy punishment, you know, very painful punishment. So that means the place is different from other places. So the sins and the reward is multiplied. And this is favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the sins are not multiplied. Allah leave it the way it is, so that people will be able to pass. Yeah. Otherwise, if we are going to be held responsible of our actions, one for one good deed, one reward, and one evil deed, one sin. Trust me, many of us will not be able to pass because some of these sins are really, really, really bad. They can go deep back and destroy your deed, or they will make them useless. Yeah. You Allah. Some of these sins, they can go and make your deed useless. Yeah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. So He provides you with so many ways that you can do simple things, and inshallah, you'll be able to pass the test. That's why the scholar said, لا يهلك على الله إلا هلك. You Allah. You know, with all of this intensive amount of mercies from Allah, how is it possible for somebody to go to hell? It's a very good message to all of us. That's why Ibrahim gave us this nice message. Where did we get this? In his conversation with his father, he says, Ya Abati, inni akhafu an yamassaka adhabun min ar-Rahmani. So Allah, the scholar said, why didn't he say, because we are talking about punishment, which name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fits this? Jabbar. And yamassaka adhabun min al-Jabbari. Min al-Aziz, min al-Qahar, min al-Muntaqim. But he did not say that. He says, I'm afraid you will end up being punished by Ar-Rahman. He's reminding him with all of these mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you get into hell, what's wrong with you? You know, don't you remember that his name is Ar-Rahman, and then you end up going to hell? What is this? So this is actually the message in this choice of this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inni akhafu an yamassaka adhabu min ar-Rahman. Yeah, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَانَتِ الْوُجُوهُ لِلْحَيِّ الْقَيُّوْءِ وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ حَمَلَ اللَّهِ. You want to see a loser? Look at that person who comes back to Allah with sins, with oppressions. And you know, oppression is to take or to go against or to hurt others, including yourself. Yeah, going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sins, this is oppression against yourself and against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have a way out in this dunya. If you don't use it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the real loser will be you on the day of judgment. قَالَ وَكِلَاهُمَا مِنْ صِفَاتِ كَمَالِهِ. Both justice and fadl, favor. You know, both of them they are qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Justice. Allah hates dhulm. La yadhlimu rabbuka ahada. Wa ma rabbuka bidhallamin lil abid. That's why if you look at this system, Allah, it's a very lovely system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in this life. No angels are with us to come and appear physically and force us to do what Allah wants us to do. Allah let us choose what we want. But He gave us all types of guidance. Consciousness, the fitrah, the book, prophets, messengers, they're gone. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced them with the scholars, righteous students of knowledge, you know, people who are reminding others to do that which is right. We have no excuse, you know. The natural disposition is enough, which is always itching in your heart, telling you, do not do this. It's wrong. You know, sins, whenever you commit sins, trust me, you feel it in your heart. As long as the person is a Muslim, he feels. And he knows he's going in the wrong direction. Yeah. Whether he agrees to continue or not. Wallahi, this is ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you should try your best not to do something that will remove this consciousness. This sense is very important. That's why living in a place of calamities and sins and ma'asi is really not a good choice for a believer. Because the more ma'asi you are seeing, the less sensitive you are. And you need that sensitivity. Yeah? That's why when you first, if you're living in a place where the ma'asi are very little, when you find yourself in an evil place, what do you do? You will hear a person saying, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." This is, come on, qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the signs of the day of judgment. Your dhamir will not accept it. But trust me, if you're going to stay in that place for a while, it will be hadi, very normal. Yeah, that's why you have to make a right decision to choose a good place where you will not be exposed to the ma'asi a lot. Is that clear? Yeah, this is really important for us. Having this fitrah going taken away from you is really dangerous, my dear brothers and sisters. It's really dangerous. You have to keep it intact. Then it helps you be idhnillahi azza wa jalla. Whenever you approach something that is inappropriate, your dhamir will tell you not to go for it. And this is the reference when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, istafti qalbak. He said, ask your heart. Yeah, he's talking to the people of consciousness. Ask your heart, because your heart will never be at peace when you're going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't oppress. As I said, I love this system. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave you to the system. Yeah. You don't want to follow? Okay, go ahead. Do whatever you want. Yeah. We have seen many people who cried, literally cried, and regretted. I wish. And subhanallah, you know, the worst type of punishment is like you were punished and you couldn't realize you're punished. Yeah, there are people who are punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they don't understand this punishment, you know. They want to take the solution, you know, and the solution is at their hand, especially with the Muslims. You're suffering in your life. Why can't you check your life and see your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How is it? Check it properly. Are you doing the correct thing or are you following your desire? You will love. Uqsimu billah. No stress and no depression will disturb you, you know, for ages, as long as you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't go like that. Allah says, "Alladhina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bidhikrillah. Ala bidhikrillah tatma'innu al-qulub." If you're depressed and you remain like that, yeah, depression will come from time to time, but soon you will remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on your side, and you do the right thing, you do istighfar, you come back to your consciousness. You'll be gone immediately. But then you remain throughout your life, you know, for ages. You're suffering, and you don't know the solution? Wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, we're lying to ourselves. Yeah, we're lying to ourselves. Come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see the consequence. Trust me, it will be removed instantly. There's no way for you, alhamdulillah, to be with Allah and be depressed. Yeah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? In the cave. Abu Bakr was worrying so much. Yeah, he has to worry because the talab reached the cave. Abu Bakr can see them. And these people, they are mudajjijin bis silah. Their hope is to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr worried so much about who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, no need to worry, you know. Ma dhannuka ya Abu Bakr. It's like that, it's nothing, you know. This is just a command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to follow the process. We are staying here. Don't worry. Right? Like Umm Jamil when she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in front of her, but she did not see him. He himself, when he comes out of the house also during the hijrah, the kuffar Quraysh were there with their weapons. None of them see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he told him, مَا ظُنَّكَ بِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. What do you think about two people? And the third is Allah. What do you think about two? The third of them is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they wish to have that night, you know. That shows the virtue of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu over the rest of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the companions said, I wish I can get that night. All of my good deeds will be taken just that night. Yeah, because Allah says, he told him, Inna Allah la tahzan, Inna Allah ma'ana. He said, don't be sad, don't worry at all, don't be depressed. Inna Allah ma'ana. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Yeah. Ummu Ismail, when Jibril told her, he said, who are you? She said, Ana Ummu Walad Ibrahim. I'm the mother of the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Jibril said, oh, did he, where is he? She said, he is not around. Did he leave you under the custody of somebody? As a woman, you're alone in this days that nobody's there, you know. She said, yes. He said, who? She said, Allah. Subhanallah. And he told her, فَقَدْ وَكَلَكُمَا إِلَىٰ كَافٍ. He said, don't worry. Ibrahim left you under the custody of somebody who is enough for you. He told her, لَا تَخْشَيْنَا لَا تَخْشَيْنَا لَا تَخْشَيْ الضَّيْعَ. He said, don't worry about you being neglected in this place. Relax. As long as you have this aqeedah, you're with Allah, don't worry. And subhanAllah, that's the Saudi nowadays, right? With no exaggeration, you can say the richest nation on earth. No. That's how it began, you know, in Tawheed. That's how Ibrahim put them. And if they are to stay away from righteousness, thinking of it not to be part of, you know, the modernization, you know, modern life, they want to take something else, trust me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he's capable of taking it and replacing it with something else. May Allah not let us see this moment and help the authorities there to always go back to the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is no contradiction between modern life and the Sharia. All that you have to do is to stay away from what Allah doesn't want, because it is not civilization and it will not take you anywhere. It will not take you anywhere. Civilization that is not based on Tawheed is hash. You Allah will never last for any short period of time. So I want you to feel this, that you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bi'idhnil wahid al-ahad. You always have this relaxation and comfort in your heart. So whenever you feel depressed, what is the first thing to be done? Istighfar. Yeah. Don't say, no, I'm the mufti, you know, I'm the sheikh, you know, I'm the best student of knowledge in this space, you know, everyone is referring to me. No, that's what I call deception. Yeah, why are you depressed? That is something going on, you know. Between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fix it and do istighfar. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fix it for you. One of the scholars said, if I go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes I know that I'm going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the behavior I got in the family when I reached them. So it's a test for the family and test for him also, and a reminder for him also. He said, not only that, my dabba, my animal also, when it behaves in the wrong way, I went back and do istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's how life should be, to always check your heart and check your relationship with Allah to make it correct. قَالَ فَإِنَّهُمَا عَدْلُهُ وَفَضْلُهُ وَكِلَاهُمَا مِنْ صِفَاتِهِ مِنْ صِفَاتِ كَمَالِهِ. Both are the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وهو سبحانه وتعالى يحب صفاته وأسماءه ويحب من يحبها. Allah loves his sifat and he loves his name and he loves whoever loves his sifat and his names. There was a person who recited قل هو الله أحد whenever he finishes the recitation of every rak'ah. He will complete his recitation with قل هو الله أحد. So that was so strange because the companions were not used to this because they were with the Prophet ﷺ. They never heard him doing this. So the man kept on doing this. Qul huwa Allahu Ahad is the last thing he recited. Even if he recited surah, he would recite Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. When they reached the Prophet ﷺ, because he was the leader in that battle, when they reached Rasulullah ﷺ, they told him, Ya Rasulullah, this is what Fulan is doing. And then the Prophet ﷺ called him. He said, why did you do that? He said, Ya Rasulullah, because لِأَنَّهَا صِفَةُ الرَّحْمَةِ. He said, because it's a sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I really, really love to see myself reading something about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love him because of that, and he goes to Jannah. بِإِذْنِ azza wa ta'ala. Yeah. Can we do it? Yeah. In some places, people might not have the knowledge of that. It will create fitna. That's why staying away from it, unless if you are with the student of knowledge, is okay. And also doing it all the time is wrong. Yeah, I saw a place where the imam almost all of, I mean, every prayer, whenever he prays, he will read Qul huwa Allahu Ahad at that. But this is wrong, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't doing that. But he approved what somebody did. That means if you did it, if you do it occasionally, it should be okay, inshallah. If you are doing it in a place where you will not create fitna. Yeah, but if you're doing it in a place where you create fitna, then it is haram for you to go for that. You have to stick to that which will help people to maintain their unity. قَالَ وَكُلُّ وَاحِدٍ. So you see, Allah loved that person because he loves the names of Allah and his attributes. وَكُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ الدِّينَيْنِ فَهُوَ صِرَاطُهُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ الَّذِي هُوَ عَلَيْهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَهُوَ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And both deen, al-amri wal-jazai, is based on the sirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-mustaqim, because Allah is upon the sirat al-mustaqim. Yeah. What is sirat al-mustaqim? Justice, fadl, love, mercy, you know, being kind to those whom he created. You get it? That's the sirat al-mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm sorry, Ibn al-Qayyim says, وَكُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ الدِّينَيْنِ فَهُوَ صِرَاطُهُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ أَلَّذِي عَلَيْهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَهُوَ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمِ فِي أَمْرِهِ وَنَهِيهِ وَثَوَابِهِ وَإِقَابِهِ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى إِخْبَارًا عَنْ نَبِيِّهِ هُودٍ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ إِنِّي أُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ وَاشْهَدُوا أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ فَكِيدُونِي جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ لَا تُنْذِرُونَ إني توكلت على الله ربي وربكم ما من دابة إلا هو آخذ بناصيتها. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon the sirat al-mustaqim in fi amri, in his command, upon the sirat al-mustaqim. In his thawab, in his reward, he is upon the sirat al-mustaqim. In his punishment, he is upon the sirat al-mustaqim. In him, you know, asking you to stay away from things, he is upon the sirat al-mustaqim. This is just like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says when he talks about Hud alayhi salam, أَنَّهُ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ. And Hud alayhi salam told his people, إِنِّي أُشْهِدُ اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. And this is a miracle of Hud alayhi salam. He says, I أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ. And you also should bear witness and should also testify, you know, like me, that أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا, be the witness, be my witness, that I am disconnecting myself from whatever you're doing, which is shirk. Min dunihi, which is shirk, you know, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are attributing other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Allah. I mean, attributing his right to some other creation of his. Fakiduni jamian. That's a miracle, right? That's a miracle. That's why, as we said, some scholars think that Hud doesn't have any miracle. Ibn Abil Izz al-Hanafi, he mentioned this, he said this is the miracle, one of the greatest miracles actually that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a prophet. Because we know how big is the Thamud, right? And the Ahd. They're so giant. They're so big, you know. So Hud alayhi salam was standing in front of them, telling them, Fakiruni jamian. You know, you do have a right to plot against me. Thumma la tunzirun. And don't give me any respite. Inni tawakkaltu ala Allahi rabbi wa rabbikum. I only depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is my Lord and your Lord. Ma min dabbatin illa huwa akhidhun bi nasiyatiha. There is no dabba except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who holds the nasiyah, the forehead of that. Because if somebody holds this part of the person or animals, that's mean he's in control of that person. You get it? Inna rabbi ala siratin mustaqim. He says, my Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon the sirat al-mustaqim. Very nice statement, which Ibn al-Qayyim, you know, take time to give us the lessons extracted from this ayah, which I will delete, inshallah, until the next class. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As in, if you have some few questions, let's answer them. Assalamu
alaikum. If a person is talking to his mother or serving his mother, and then the time of Iqamah comes, which one is more important?
He's serving the mother, right? Can he just quickly finish and then leave to the salah? If it is something that is necessary, he finish and then go to the salah so that he can focus. If it is not, he should tell her that, Ummi, can I just pray and come back? Inshallah, she will say yes. Yeah. Can I just say, they made a karma, can I just catch up the prayer and I will come back immediately? She will say yes, and then he goes to the prayer. Yeah. But if it is something necessary, missing the jama'ah for necessities is okay.
Let's say I'm standing behind the imam and I recognize he makes a mistake, but it's a few ayat after he makes a mistake that I know I have to correct him. So should I correct
him? You shouldn't. Class. You bring him back. He's going to understand that you are fixing this one. Yeah. And if you go back and recite what he messed up, he will still understand that maybe you are not following. You think he's still in this place, and to him, I already passed this place. So you're going to confuse him, unless if it is Surah Al-Fatiha. If it's Surah Al-Fatiha and the mistake is something that destroys the prayer, then you have to stop him. Yeah, you have to stop him. As-salam.
There have been times when I've told, like, let's say you tell someone to, I'm going to this place, I'm going to do this, but then when you're about to do it, you change your intention. So is that like considered lying from your part?
No problem. You should remember always to say inshallah.
Inshallah. Okay.
Yeah, it's not lying, because you wanted to do it, but then you change your mind. That's okay. Yeah. Okay. If you promise or you swear by Allah to do it and then you do not do, then you have to do the kafara. But if there is no swearing, there is no promise, then it's up to you to change your mind. I wanted to do something and I told you guys I'm going to do something, but then I see that no, not doing it is better. I just changed my mind.
Okay.
The only thing I have to do is just to call people and tell them, please, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I can't go forward.
Mm. The second question is, like, when you make the dua, like, let's say entering the masjid or coming out of the masjid, do you stand in front of the masjid, make the dua, and then enter?
While you're going
Okay.
Yeah, otherwise it's going to be long queue in the masjid. Everyone is going to finish it.
Okay.
Just put your, while you're going, to just keep making dua and move forward.
Jazakallah khair.
Last two questions.
One more question for myself, Sheikh.
Okay.
Sheikh, for example, let's
part say... of the two questions.
Sheikh, for example, let's say there are five people sitting together, and then one person is reciting Quran.
Yeah.
So can the other four people talk among themselves?
How? we're sitting down, we're talking, and then somebody started reading the Quran.
Yeah.
That's his fault. He shouldn't. He should read it silently. And you cannot just go, that's troublemaking, actually. Go and see people shouting, and then you start reading the Quran, tell them everyone should keep quiet. No, we don't have right to do that. Yeah, we just make it silently. Yeah. If they are shouting in the way you are distracted, you can ask them to please slow your voice because I get distracted. But you also shouldn't raise up your voice because you put them into trouble because they have to listen to what you are doing. Yeah.
So if the person is reciting low, with a low voice, you can still, the other four can still talk.
I can still talk. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
another question. Let's say a person is fasting, but at he lives or he's at a place that if he breaks his fast immediately after the adhan, he might not be able to make it to the jama'ah. So which one comes first, breaking the fast or going to jama'ah?
Yeah, breaking the fast. Just take 1, 2, 3 tamr, you know, and run. Then it's actually unhealthy for you to eat a lot after the adhan, if you fast. The body is not ready for heavy food. The best is to take a few tamarat, drink water, then go pray. After the prayer, then come back and enjoy your meal. You know, have your kebab, your other thing, karai. Well, I learned some names in Pakistan restaurants. You know. Have your meal when the veins can accommodate heavy meal.
By the same token, I forgot, but is it also wajib to break the fast immediately after the adhan?
It's not wajib. Yeah, it's sunnah for you to break, and the Muslim shouldn't lose this reward. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the ummah will still receive in good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as they hasten the iftar right after Maghrib. You know, as long as you know that now is Maghrib, the Imam Muaddin is making adhan or he's not making, this is his problem. Just eat your food. But you just make sure that the sun already set. Yeah, because sometimes some of the Muaddinun, they eat first. And then remember you after they're satisfied. So you should also treat them in that way. And you know that, yes, this is the time, let's eat your food. You see, that's the last question, right?
New question is asked by a sister. She says, if a husband, means like the wife talks to her children about the husband, something bad, is this considered as backbiting?
Very wrong, actually. Very, very wrong and very bad. And she has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question. Children, they follow who amongst the parent? Wrong. Father, wrong. Which one? Both wrong. They follow the weak. Naturally, a child focuses on the one who is weak. Do you get the idea? So in many families, you see the one who is the boss is the father, right? The mother has been traumatized by the father. That's why the kids goes to her. Trust me, if the mother is harsh and the father is miskeen there, you know, she's mocking him every day, you will see the parent, the children, all of them will be with the father, being very sensitive and harsh against the mother. So that's why this nature is there. When she brings the children and tell them what is going on between her and the husband, it creates hatred between the kids and the father. Yeah, they're going to be very hostile against him. So she has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What goes on between her and the husband should be concealed between them. She shouldn't share with the kids. Right? Backbiting, yes, it is backbiting. What can the kids do? Nothing. If she tells them. Yeah, nothing. She wants to talk to somebody about it, talk to her parent, talk to his parent, talk to his friends, talk to somebody who can do something to change the situation. But bringing kids and telling them what is going on between her and the father will create nothing other than hatred against the father. If the father is going to do that, it will create nothing except hatred against the mother. That's why as a good father, and he knows the mother is wicked and very bad, whenever he talked to the kids, he used to tell them, please respect your mother. She's looking for good for you. Whatever she does, although you might see it a bit harsh, but don't worry. You will appreciate it in the future. And he should try his best to see how to block any evil that can come from her to them. The same goes to the mother. When the father is really, really bad, you know, she should always tell them, you know, I've heard about some sisters, subhanAllah, like this. Yeah, they always tell the kids, no, your father is good. Father is good. Don't worry. You might see something that you don't like, but don't worry. Inshallah, things will be better. Inshallah, inshallah. Yeah, because sometimes some of the parent, you know, they're very bad. In front of the children, they do what? They beat the mother. How do you think that this boy is going to forget this? Well, I will never. Yeah. Once he starts getting strength and power, when you do that, he's going to also react the same thing against you. That will be the beginning of the tragedy. Yeah. You have no value in his eyes. First of all, the beating is wrong. Second of all, you're doing it up in front of the kids. So it will not reduce the value. Sometimes it does, actually. They might be telling their mother, we will tell the father. When she tells them something, they will tell her, we will tell you. I mean, our father when he comes back. So the mother shouldn't share with the kids what is going on between her and the father. Go and talk to somebody who can contribute to fixing the situation rather than the kids. Yeah. Yeah, even if it is a story, Radia, as long as it contains something bad against one of them, the other one shouldn't share this. Not with the kids. Yeah, not with the kids at all. It's wrong. She should talk to the father. You are not eating in the right way. Follow the sunnah. Yeah, that's why eating with the family all the time is good. You know, rather than McDonald's and KFC and all of these things, you know, eat at home. All of the family should come in the same place and eat. Yeah. So people are reminding each other, right? Yeah. When one of them doesn't sit properly, the other one correct. And I've really benefited from this. At my house, we don't eat separately, except snacks. At the breakfast, lunch, dinner, everyone has to come. And you have to wait for everyone to come. We talk, we create good environment, good relationship. You see them fighting each other. You're not sitting like Rasulullah. You're not sitting like Rasulullah, you know? And you just tell me to sit like Rasulullah. You also, just now you started doing it. Why didn't you do it at the first? Yeah. These things bring the family closer. You know, bring the family closer. And this is how we correct ourselves. Rather than the mother going to tell the kids that your father, you know, he doesn't know how to do it correctly, they already see what he is doing. Get it? And we manage to make jokes. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sorry, I have an appointment in some far places. I have to leave. بارك الله فيك